Lane and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. What's up? Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday. I'm just checking myself here before I wreck myself. Tuesday all day long. We did our Ding Dong of the Week segment earlier. By the way, Brett Batchelor, one of our coworkers, gave himself a ding dong because we were in the press box at the game on Saturday. I said, does anybody have a sheet of paper I could borrow? He gave me a sheet of notebook paper the size of a Post-it note. So what am I supposed to do with this? I'll just write on the hand. What is this? What's with tiny paper?
That's paper all I got.
For ants?
That's when I knew that bad things were going to happen. When my coworker hands me an entire sheet of paper that would fit in the palm of my tiny hand. And I'm just like, take this thing back. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I am at this. Because there's nothing I can do. What is this? A school for ants?
He
gave himself a ding dong.
I couldn't even see the paper in the man's hand.
Y'all wanted staff changes. Hey, hit the breaking news.
Breaking Titans news on 104.5 The Zone.
Y'all wanted staff changes. Let's go to the news desk now. Do you want to hit this Lucas Panzeca or do you want me to? Because I couldn't do it without laughing. I'm not laughing that it happened to somebody, but everybody was wanted just to burn down the village after the game on Saturday. They burned down like the 17th suburb of the village.
Yeah, you can check the boxes. Jim Haslett, inside linebackers coach, out. Assistant defensive line coach, Kenichi Udeze, out. Assistant special teams coach, Matt Edwards, out. And assistant strength and conditioning coach, Mondre Gee, are out. I hope I am pronouncing that correctly.
He's actually G. I looked it up.
G. Okay.
It says his name is literally pronounced like a letter G.
Mondre G.
Yeah, I only got it because I looked it up.
Well, he's not on the Titans staff anymore.
So that's a combination of Brent Daugherty and Buck Rising and John Glennon announcing those. Want to make sure credit where credit is due. But for everybody who wanted all this other, you know, coach carnage, that's it. Like the assistant to the traveling secretary and then like some guy who had been there a couple of times. And then, like, another guy who had some Titans gear.
That's the Titans. They just found a guy with gear in the building.
Yes.
That's the Titans Black Tuesday of 2022.
So I don't want anybody to get fired. I'm not making light of the situation. But anytime things don't go the way you want them to, people always want people to get fired. And there were people who got fired, but nobody who had really anything directly to do with the Titans offense at all this season. I'm never surprised because there are always going to be some staff changes. I was kind of surprised that this was necessarily the road that they went down. Just like assistance to people and then Jim Haslett.
Who had no clout to anything. As a mayor, I mean, he's 66. He may have just said, hey, man, I think I'm stressed all out, man. I got to retire.
Have at it.
Yeah. So, these are just moves just to, you know, pacify that they got rid of some people. You know, but things like this happen all the time. I just wanted to see if they were going to make any huge moves. And just like I don't think any huge move is going to be done with the players. We shall see, though, with that cap situation as you were addressing, if that happens after everything settles down and none of them being Tannehill at this point in time. I don't see how they can get out of that cap number. But I'm not a capologist like you, Mickey, but or Marino. But if there's a will, there's a way. So. But you have to, you know, have some partners in this and see if you can get somebody that's going to be better. And I think if you do the totality of 3 years that he's been the starter, I think it's just going to be hard to get somebody that's better than him. At this point in time, through trade or what have you, it's just going to take a lot of capital, you know, draft capital, salary. I mean, just think, everybody's talking about Russell Wilson. Really? Okay. I like Russell Wilson, too. He's a great player. Yeah, he's better than Tannehill. Okay, let's trade for him. Then you got to pay him $40 million a year. You got to give him a new contract. They got to be willing to trade for him, too, by the way. And, if you're talking about trading, let's lowball him. We really can go another year with Russell Wilson. I mean, we can ride this train out another year. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of moving parts here that it's hard to do. This is not like college, get rid of the coach, get rid of the quarterback, and it's not that simple. So you're heavily invested in him.
Well, and all the people who want Aaron Rodgers, that dude wants like $40 million a year if he keeps playing. I mean, he wants $40 million a year. Here's your free agents. Like, these are the guys that you just say, here's what we'll pay you. Do you want to, you send them the note over.
The same note you got in like that little small piece of paper.
Yes, no, maybe. Yes, on Brett Batchelor's paper, which is like the size of my thumbnail. You needed a magnifying glass. Free agent quarterbacks. Here you go. I just put down like some of the names I thought people would know.
Okay.
Just like this guy's on the street as soon as the new league year begins. These are free agents.
So all we got to do is compare them to see if they're better than Tannehill.
Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
With,
there we go.
With guys who would just cost you whatever they negotiated to come and work for you for, you know.
So I'm going to give you your no or yes.
Okay.
All right.
Andy Dalton.
No.
Tyrod Taylor.
No.
Jameis.
No.
Jacoby Brissett.
No.
99 problems, but a Mitch ain't one Trubisky.
Oh, no.
Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
That's by far the best of them.
That's the best.
That's like, I sorted through this. I combed the desert. That's the best I
could
come
up
with.
It could be equivalent to him, but I think Tannehill's better.
Well, that's, like, those are the guys.
And those are solid names. Here's the thing with Tannehill to me. Is he's got all the qualities to be a good quarterback, and we need the quarterback to be elite. Now, when I say elite, he's not going to change who he is, but you're trying to look at his traits. His traits is he has great leadership. He's accurate, very athletic, has a big arm. He has accuracy. He has all these things, but there's one thing that we're not sure on. That's why he can't get over the snide in the playoffs is he clutch? And, you know, the first thing when you say Andy Dalton, I could probably say some of those same things too, but he couldn't get him over the snide in the playoffs. Now, some of that is when you're the quarterback, it's the other pieces around you, but you can't be the liability when you have those pieces around you.
Right.
And so we have to see if he can actually be the guy. You could say he had pieces at, you know, Julio, and then you had A.J. Brown, and then you have the King was back or whoever you want to put back there for him, and, you know, it sometimes, you know, throughout the season. So that's why I say I have to give it one more year to see if he can psychologically win and play better in that situation. I think the organization, if I was them, I would be patient enough to wait. And the cap tells them what they've invested in them, that that's probably the best thing to do, and don't knee-jerk react and just let it settle down, go back, evaluate him over 3 years, and you say, all right, let's see if there's a possibility he can get over that snide. And that's why I was bringing up to Steve Young the other day, not to compare Steve Young to Tannehill. We all know Steve Young's a Hall of Famer. Tannehill probably is and is not. All right, but that doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl with a really good quarterback. And I was talking about the pressure that he had and that he could never get over the hump, and he kept losing NFC championships for like 3 years in a row after following, at the time, the greatest quarterback of all time in Joe Montana. So let's talk about that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
And then eventually he broke through the ice and got it on, well, maybe it was his third time or the fourth time, and finally won a Super Bowl and got to a Super Bowl. So that's what I was really comparing it to, the actual situation. And if you stick with him now, different era, different time, everybody wants instant success right now. And I don't know if you can really do that. You just can say, I don't know if he can get us in past the second round of the playoffs. And so some people will say, I've had enough sample size and he can't get it done. Well, you can say that at the same sense. You got to try it one more time if you're in the organization when you look at his cap number and you went all in.
Right. There's several people in the Zone TV chat who keep saying Gardner Minshew. He's not a free agent.
Where did they traded him to somewhere, right?
Eagles. So he's got one more year left on his deal. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind having him as a backup.
Yeah, I like him as a backup.
He's
kind of a Ryan Fitzpatrick, younger Ryan.
He's a free agent.
Right. He's Ryan on that mold. You know, he has this, you know, macho way about him, fearlessness, about him. He's tough. I just don't know. He may have the it. That's the part that's missing, really, is the it. Like, when it comes down to it, just think about this now. Garoppolo, Golf, is Tannehill better than both of those guys? Up to debate. But they both, reason why I bring those guys up, both of those guys have played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it done, and the teams, you know, moved on. Well, Garoppolo's still there. But they tried to. They brought in the first round.
They drafted a first round
quarterback.
They touched
him. It's like, And I wouldn't be shocked if he's still gone after the season.
Yeah, I think he has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was something there with them that they thought they didn't have it. Has all the talent, but they didn't have it. And it is clutch. And so can you get over it? So they were patient enough to wait one more year. So I would think the Titans would kind of follow that model. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you draft a quarterback first round, but maybe third round, since you don't have a second, or maybe you trade to get into the second and get a quality backup quarterback that you can kind of groom and prepare yourself for the transition from him to another quarterback that's young and up and coming. Then you have a small salary or, I guess, cap number until you continue to build around, and hopefully you pick the right one. And it's a guessing game when it comes to those quarterbacks. Nobody knows who's going to be great, good, or so-so and career backup guy.
Sure. We got to back this thing up to the commercial break as Coach Mack is set to join us here in just a couple of minutes. That's right, Coach Dave McGinnis. Final Titans season Mack Attack coming up next on Blaine and Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You hear that music. It only means one thing. That means the Mack Attack. Coach Dave McGinnis. Coach, I sure as heck hoped that this was going to be the previewing the AFC Championship game version of the Mack Attack, but instead we'll be looking back on this season. Coach, good to have you, though, as always, under any circumstances.
Well, thanks, Mickey. Hi, Blaine. Yeah, I mean, I think we were all expecting to work quite a bit longer, you know, with this season moving forward, and it didn't. And that's, you know, the reality of the finality of the National Football League playoffs is just brutal. And if you've experienced it, you know, which, you know, you guys have, our listeners have, which I have for, you know, over half my adult life in this league. When you move on, it's the greatest feeling in the world. I mean, the excitement and the energy in this city for the last 2 weeks has been incredible. You know, I attended that, the pep rally that we had Friday night, you know, down there that, I mean, it was incredible, just incredible. And then the energy in that stadium and everything surrounded it, because that's what we do it for. You know, and then when you lose the ball game, you know, clearly everybody and you run through a lot of range of emotions. But you know, here we are. The thing that's true, though, guys, and you guys know this, and it's the machine that is the National Football League. It keeps moving. Yeah. It keeps moving regardless of what your individual team's outcome is. And so you've got to get on that track, because things have a deadline to them. And in whether you win or lose, that same deadline is still sitting there. And I'm talking about, you know, the date that the league year starts. I'm talking about, you know, the date for free agency to start. I'm talking about the date as to where you have to have, you know, a top 51 under contract. All of this stuff now continues to move forward regardless of what you're doing. But yes. And the other thing that is very painful about this is we can all sit here, and I'm sure everybody's done the same thing since Saturday night, is imagine what you would be doing if we were still playing.
It's interesting, Coach, because we'll be doing the post-game show, and you know, a guy might call in and say, well, I played high school ball, and, you know, we always ran that. And you know, everybody kind of gets a laugh about that. This is so much different from that. But here's the one time where it's not different. If you ever played anything in your life, and you gave it everything you had, and the season ended, and not in the championship game with you holding up a trophy, there's a whole heck of a lot of people who know, they know what that feels like. They know that feeling.
Well, I mean, and as I say, and yet that feeling only comes if you're fully invested in it.
Yes.
And that's where the feeling comes from, because if you don't care, then you're not invested enough emotionally to, you know, to have it have any impact on you. But you know, there's a lot of emotional investment in the Tennessee Titans here. There was a large amount this year. There will be a large amount next year. But when you're invested and then it's not successful, you it's like you're grieving over it, which is fine. And again, everybody has their, and I'm in the role that I have now here, I'm open to everybody's opinion because of this. Everybody deserves to express their opinion. That's why, you know, with myself and Mike Keith and Amy and Rant, we did the Mike Grable show on Monday. Took all the callers, and you guys take all the callers, and that's, I'm always open to that, and because they deserve, you know, to express and to emote what they feel, because what they are feeling, you know, regardless of the depth of their football knowledge, that doesn't really matter. Their emotions are their emotions, and yeah, they're legitimate. Mm.
Coach Mac, bringing us the Mac Attack, courtesy of our friends, the good people at Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered, just like Coach Mac has us covered each week during this segment on Tuesdays.
Yeah, and you talk about somebody that's invested in Farm Bureau Health Plans. Those people have been fabulous. I mean, I can just say since ever I've been here, and I know even before that, and the things that they did, I mean, they have been absolutely fabulous. And it's, as I said, there's a large investment by a lot of people, guys, and you guys know it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're on with Coach Mac giving us the Mac Attack here. And Coach, you know, I've naturally been in some horrific losses and heartbreaking, and it kind of hurts your soul, and you're scarred, and you never get over them, as you know. But you've been in some big games and throughout your coaching career over a long haul. Where would you rank, even just with the Titans organizations, which you were part of too as well, where would you rank this loss because of the expectations that were so high?
Well, any playoff loss is going to hurt. And I like the word that you used, Blaine, when you first started this with you and I. You said scar, and it does. Mm-hmm. It's like a scar, because a scar will heal, but it's always there, you know. And so that's what this is. I mean, I've had some great victories in this league coaching. Yeah, you've had some great victories playing, but the scar that a loss puts on you, especially the bigger the stakes, and the stakes are always the biggest in the playoffs, okay? I mean, I've got a scar from that 2008 season. Mm. You know, Keith Bullock and I and CJ2K were talking about it on stage at the Pep Rally. That's a scar. That's a scar we wanted to see, you know, be able to be at least salved over a little bit, you know, with this football team. Well, this is a scar, but it's not, you know, a scar doesn't kill you, but it hurts you for a while, and you'll always feel it. And what it does is it just reminds you of how much you want to reach that final prize.
Mm. Well, Coach, I guess give us your observation on, I guess, the quarterback play in Tannehill, maybe just in this game, but then how would you look at it from an organizational view over his time period? Because that's how I would look at him, over a three-year window in his career. I guess start with the game and then, you know, the things that went wrong. I don't know all the details of, you know, was NWI supposed to run the route shorter, or, you know, little bitty things like that, and those things that coaches sit down with the organization and the GM and kind of go over what actually happened.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the game. You can't turn it over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone through that this year, and that's not just with Ryan Tannehill. That's with anybody mm-hmm. that plays quarterback in this league. You've got to protect the football, and the further you advance, and if you advance, you've got to protect the football in the tournament for this reason. When you're playing in the tournament, you're playing against good teams. Now, it was evident. We saw evidence this year that if you turn it over against teams that are not so good and accomplished, they can still beat you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just can't turn the ball over. You've got to protect the football. And as I say, I don't have any idea, as you said, and I'm glad you said that, about exactly what went on and who was what. But, you know, it all comes back. It's always like anything in the National Football League. It always comes back to the quarterback on the field. It always comes back to the head coach, which I've experienced personally. And so you can't turn it over. That's the broadest expanse I could look at it on, is you just cannot turn it over. And that proved to be the difference in the ball game, because you look on the flip side of it. And again, it doesn't matter if you lose, but just, you know, that the defensive effort in this football game with everything on the line, especially with that group up front and the defense as a whole. Now, you missed a spot tackle that we talked about, you know, the all week is going to be important against them, that gave them an explosive. You still, you know, were not able to do enough to take the ball away from them. But we all know that takeaways are a little harder to come by, you know, than protecting the football, because when the giveaways come when you already have the football. So I would say, first of all, protect the football. That's incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess that let me down. Being a former head coach, Coach Mac, you know, how did you handle the big losses when you address not only the media, and I know it's two different deals, but also the fan base who are outraged with the expectations so high?
Well, sure, and the outrage, they feel bad, just like, and there's nobody that feels worse, and there's nobody that has more at stake Now, look, the fan base is outraged, and they've got a lot invested, too. They invest their time. They invest their emotions. They invest their money. But the players and coaches invest their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that I mean, you're just – it's a sick feeling. It really is. And so, you know, when you talk to your team, and it's different in talking with your team because you have talked with them all year in meetings about wins and losses and about not getting too high and not getting too low. But you also understand that within everything that happens that is not good, there was a lot of good that went on also. But always in a loss, especially a playoff loss, a lot of that stuff just gets overshadowed. You know, I started to mention it earlier, just the play of the defensive front. I mean, we witnessed something that was historic in a playoff, you know, with 11 sacks, really, and 9 sacks that counted on the stat sheet. And they just kept coming and coming and basically kept the football team in the game when the ball was being turned over. Now, the fans, again, that's why I say in this job that I have now, in my position now, being able to talk with the fans, that's why whenever I'm on, I always accept all calls because they've got a right, too, to express their opinion.
No doubt about it. We're on with Coach Mack, giving us the Mack attack.
Coach, it's interesting because you go through the shock and the finality of the end of the season, which we've talked a whole lot about. As a coach, you certainly address your team and, you know, guys start to go their separate ways and, you know, maybe they take a little time off or whatever. They, you know, figure out their off-season plans, but like today, there were staff changes for the Titans. There have already guys who've gotten fired. What are these first couple of weeks or so like for a coaching staff when a season ends, especially when you're a head coach, when you're a guy who's having to make decisions right now?
Yeah, Mickey, I've made those decisions too. I've been on the, you know, I've made those decisions also. And again, the one thing that is constant that you guys are very well aware of, and I think our listeners are very well aware of, but I want to remind everybody, the one thing that's constant in the National Football League is change. And that always comes, and it's never a knee-jerk reaction. The worst thing you want to do is make a knee-jerk reaction with change, but with well-thought-out change, then change always comes in the National Football League. So it's not anything different. I'm sure each individual case was an individual case because that's always the way it was on all the staffs that I was on for 31 years. It's always an individual case, and there's an individual reason why changes are made, both on your coaching staff and in your locker room. But change is inevitable in this league.
I have just a general coaching question for you, and I know we got an off-season to discuss this, but this is such a hot topic. At the end of the Bills and Kansas City game, it looked like the Bills had it won. There were 13 seconds left. They kicked it deep instead of squibbing it and making the ball bounce a little bit. I have to ask you, because you're our head coach of Titans Radio, in that situation, philosophically, do you say, I'm going to squib kick it and try to waste some time? Or is the right call, do you think, kick it deep and think, okay, it's only 13 seconds. We can stop them from the 25.
Well, in that situation, I think you look at this. Except for your opponent, what is your biggest enemy in that situation? You know, besides your opponent, what is your biggest enemy in that situation if you are kicking the ball off and you have that lead? The biggest enemy is time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so you try to take as much time as you can off without compromising field position. And so I guess my answer to that would be kick it short or kick it on the ground so it starts bouncing down there and takes up a little bit more time. Because, I mean, and again, look, guys, we know how bad we feel, and I could care how less bad anybody else feels. But I watch every one of those games. You guys do, too. And sure, I look at it, and I just can't help it. I put myself in those situations. And you can imagine that the people up there in Buffalo are a little bit sick right now, too.
Oh, hey, man, everybody ends the year sick except for one team, you know.
There you go.
Yes, they
there
do.
There you go.
Coach Dave McGinnis, our guest, giving us a Mack attack on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Coach, now it's been 3 years in a row, I guess. How do you, you know, everybody has a window. How do you as a coach sit down and think about, okay, how long do we have in this window? Because at some point it's going to end, and you try to stay ahead of the curve as a coaching staff and as well as an organization. Because I think the window is getting shorter by the moment, and maybe only one more year left with Tannehill at the quarterback. So talk about, I guess, how that goes into the equation of the organization and the thought process.
Well, and it's a valid question, because that's the evaluation that has to go on, because the way the salary cap is structured, the way the draft is structured, and the way that you have to put a team together, you always have to be thinking at least 3 years ahead, because everything has to interlock as far as what you're doing with your salary cap and where it's going to be. And what you say is true. You reach a point as to where everything seems to be coming together, and you've got that correct blend of, because you're going to pay big money for some people, and you're going to have some people on lesser, earlier contracts, mm-hmm. and then hopefully you can fill in, which they did a masterful job of this year, with people that you evaluate and bring in. Of course, with 91, that was unheard of. But when you've got your team is going to change every year. But these thought processes, the main thing that's going to happen is, and it's a little bit pandemic related, because the cap's going to go up. Cap's going to go up, I think, probably about 200. It'll be about 208, probably 208, you know, and some change, which is not as big as it would have been without the pandemic. And some of these contracts were made before we even knew what the word pandemic was going to mean to us. But you've got to be able to fit those things. And as long as you've got some viable pieces together, and you look at it and say, first of all, can we be competitive, and can we win our division? And then if we win our division, then where can we go? That's what you have to look at. And so, yeah, I mean, it's what they've been looking at ahead of this time even more. But now, and those timelines that I talked about earlier, Blaine, that are going to come along, mm-hmm. those signposts in the National Football League that come, you're going to have those decisions made by then.
Take us through, as a head coach, you know, when your season ends abruptly, your quarterback, you know, it's played up and down all season, and you have that last meeting with him. What are your conversations with him at that point in time, if he didn't play very well?
Well, you don't make any conversations lengthy or any decisions that are going to be far reaching off of emotion. Okay,
right.
So the first meeting, the last meeting you had before everybody, you know, packs their bag and leaves out of the locker room, that's not when you have those type of discussions. You let it sit for a while. Mm. You let it sit for a while, because we were all emotionally spent after that game. I was, you guys were.
Oh, yeah.
The team was, everybody was. And you can't, the worst thing that you can do, especially in competitive sports, especially in professional sports, is make a knee-jerk reaction off of an emotional event that happens. And as I say, I talk about those signposts along the way and those deadlines. You have to have meaningful conversations from now until then. But right after the game or the day after the game, that's not the time to have a decision-making conversation.
Oh, no doubt about it. We're on with Coach Mack, giving us the Mack attack. I guess one more for me, and it's more about looking at Henry. And I kept using the word rusty before this game even played, but maybe the term is not as sharp as he normally is, just because he hasn't been playing, which is tough for anybody to do. I couldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it nowhere near it, especially a running back. But, I mean, it's just when you look at him and then you look at what Foreman was doing, what back looked better to you?
Well, I mean, to me, Derrick Henry is still the main back.
Yeah, he's still the main back, and he's the better back, but on this day.
Yeah, well, coming out, first of all, I didn't think Henry looked like he was – I didn't think he looked at all like he was favoring it, like he was dragging it. What I did look at and see was as soon as he was introduced, and then he was introduced as a starting tailback, you saw 8.5 people on the line of scrimmage, correct?
Was I that half guy?
yeah, the 8.5, you saw 8.5 up there. They were up there quite a bit. Now, when Foreman came in, when you look at the tape, there, you know, they still had the same, but it wasn't, I promise you this, that when they were, we were talking all week, and all they heard about was Henry was coming back, they were bound and determined, regardless of what happened anywhere else in that game, they were going to be sure that they weren't going to be able to be the team that immediately let Derrick Henry jump out with that first carry and go 65 yards. I did see that.
Well, with Coach Mack giving us the back attack.
Coach, we appreciate the time as always. It always goes by too fast, but always great catching up with you, and look forward to talking again very soon. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Well, we're going into, you know, free agency. You know, that depends on a whole lot of different things, but I'm already grinding on the draft, so I'm sure we're going to have a lot of conversations during these weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, sure. You know that nobody nerds out on the draft more than Rhett Bryan and myself, so, of course, we'll be asking you 8 million questions about that.
Perfect. See you, guys.
See you, Coach. All right, we come back. We'll give you a final chance at the phones. I know we've got people who want to talk before we hang up. We'll get to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Also, I gave the stat at the end of the show yesterday about how many total interceptions were thrown over the divisional round weekend. It was 6. I got a little bit more to add to that. And, man, this just punched me in the gut one last time. But I'll share one last stat with you about Saturday, and then we'll move on. And your phone calls next. Blaine and Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. I finished up the show yesterday, and then this morning I thought, I didn't even give the total math on that. NFL divisional weekend, quarterbacks, 8 total, right? 8 quarterbacks, 8 teams. Tannehill threw 3 interceptions and 24 pass attempts. Lucas, listen to this. This is going to, you're going to punch something. The other 7 quarterbacks total threw 3 interceptions. All 7 of them.
Right.
Tannehill did his in 24 pass attempts. Everybody else, 3 interceptions in 258.
Why are you pointing that needle in my gut right now?
Garoppolo, 1 of 19. Garoppolo. Burrow, 1 in 37. Brady, 1 in 54. And then Aaron Rodgers, none in 29 attempts. Allen, none in 37. Stafford, none in 38, and Mahomes was 0 interceptions in 44 attempts.
How many was it for Tannehill?
24. He had 3 and 24 attempts. Everybody else, 3 and 258.
That's 13% of his passes.
What's the other one? What's the 258?
He said 3 out of 258.
3 out of 258.
Yeah, he's doing it in his head, guys.
Yeah, no, he's definitely on his phone.
Yeah, you're smart, man.
0.01%.
Oh, wow. That's zero.
As close to zero as you can get.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Well, I just, again, I did the math. It was just so astounding to me that that's how this ends. Chill mode said that just hurts, Mickey. I'm sorry. CM, chill mode. And so on TV chat. Let's finish up
end of the day
final phone calls of the day. We'll finish on happier. Whatever people want to talk about. Man. Nate in the Borough.
I'm going to cut your mustache.
Up next. What's up, Nate? Welcome to Blaine and Mickey.
Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all having me on here today. It's been a little bit. I'm not going to touch on what I was going to touch on. Coach Knox pretty much hit it right on the head with Henry and Foreman. And also with Blaine, too, talked about Henry being, you know, kind of rusty. So my thing I'm switching up to is the Titans as a whole. What I've noticed over the years of watching the Titans is it seems like we struggle when we're not facing adversity against teams. You know, when we lost against the Texans and we lost against the Jets, you know, we kind of underplayed them as a team as a whole. And I've noticed that with the Titans organization. Unless we face an adversity, because, I mean, we play great quarterbacks this year between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And, you know, we excelled against them. Needless to say, we did have injuries and the teams were up to full strength. But as a whole, when we play these easy teams throughout the years, it seems like we struggle. We should have absolutely dominated the Bengals up and down the field. With those nice sacks we did, we should have dominated that team. And we should be in the AFC Championship game this weekend against the Chiefs. That's all I
got to
say.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, they should have, but, I mean, when you have turnovers, it's shown every time that
that's
we
it.
Can be beat. I mean, the teams that beat us, I mean, you know, we had bad day, Houston, Jets. Who else did we lose to that didn't make the playoffs? Which, you know, it's the NFL. But if you make turnovers, it's just going to be hard to win, as well as the defense played. Man, I mean, you gave up a play. I mean, they got playmakers. You're going to give up a play here or there. Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow. It's going to one that's going to burn inside, and hopefully with Tannehill to come back and be better. I know when we lost, it burned for me, you know, in 2000's playoffs, which, you know, whoever won that game was going to win the Super Bowl, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But I was boy, I was ready that next year, boy. I wanted to be the best I ever had been. And it drove me to heights that I didn't even know I could reach as far as my preparation and getting prepared for that next season and pushing yourself. So I'm sure everybody else is going to have that same mindset, because that's the type of people those players are. And that's, you know, they all want to win it. And it takes a lot. But sometimes you gotta fall a couple times to get to where you want to go, to make it that more precious. So we shall see. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it from a player's perspective. Even with Tannehill, it's going to burn him, and he's going to come back and want to prove that he's the guy. But at the end of the day, you can do that in great in the regular season, and we can pat him on his back, but he's got to get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's nowhere around it. That's it. That's the last chapter for him, as I said, going into the regular season, is to see if he can get it done in the playoffs. Once again, it didn't happen, so we shall. This is the last go-round. I think you got to give it one more year, especially with the cap situation.
But after this, it's no more cap. It's nothing that holds it together after next year.
And this is a window, because this is the 3-4 year window that they had. This is it, and this is it. Backs against the wall. So, yeah, they do play better. It seems like, as though they were favored in this game, so that made me nervous in itself. Yeah.
Let's sneak in one more call. Alvin in Nashville. Alvin! Let's wrap it up. What you got?
Hey, I just want to call real quick and just say, man, during the game, I don't know if y'all ever noticed, like, when he would throw interception, he wouldn't even go back to, I don't even know what it's called, it's the tablet. He wouldn't even go back to even look at the tablet or anything. You know, my thing is, like, okay, well, I throw interception, you know, I'm just going to hang right here and watch the defense. Like, it wasn't even no game plan. My thing is, when you playing, you got to have some kind of game plan. There was no game plan from start to finish on offense. Like, it's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm sure. All I need to do is don't throw it to the other team. What are you doing?
They were 1-5 with 3 or more turnovers. They were, 11-1. With anything less than 3. The one thing you couldn't do was go in the game and give the ball away. Now, we'll start talking about everything else. It's time to move on. A lot of people said, Mickey, Lonzo says, you're killing me, Mickey. Sorry. I just did the math on that. 0.1% versus 12.5% for 7 guys versus 1 guy. But that's it. Tomorrow, we start to move on. Turn the page. Yeah, other things.
I got to go sit down with a shrink or something. I got to say, my. Man, I can't imagine, man. This is almost not as close as it's halfway there, though. I thought this is a team.
All right, our music's playing.
Yeah.
That's Lucas's way of saying we got to go. But we wish everybody a happy rest of their Tuesday.
Yeah. In the meantime, in between time.
Also wish you this.
Peace.